Want to say, first off, I have a note. Skinny, you got a birthday coming up, is that right? Tuesday? Well, happy birthday to you. Amen. Happy birthday to you. She's a great friend, and I love you. Well, yeah, Mr. Rodifer. Which one? Princess, you've got a birthday coming up. Happy birthday. That's awesome. Birthdays all around. Everybody just wish each other happy birthday. It's awesome. Tracy Fox has a birthday as well? Man, what? I don't want to know what your parents were doing 9 months ago from now. Y'all crazy. That's awesome. Happy birthday. And listen, in spite of your husband, we're glad you're here. And God brought you here. We love you guys. It's awesome. All right. Excited this time of year. I don't know about you. We get to a week from Thursday. We'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. It's something that this nation has been doing for quite a long time. And look forward to that time we're able to spend with those that we love. And I pray that y'all have somebody that you get to spend time with on that Thursday. It's a big deal. And with that comes Christmas, and I can't believe that, golly, Ned's, it's coming so fast. And I'm here's one of the cool things about Old Town Hill that I love. Every year at this time of the year, we decorate this church, and it's one of the most beautiful churches decorated for Christmas I've ever been a part of. I mean, it's just beautiful. But here's what I also know. We need your help. We really do. And because some of us are going to be doing skills testing that morning as well for Upward. And so it's going to tie us up a little bit. So we're not going to be able to help with decorating as much as we'd like. I think we're going to try to slide out and help until kids come in. But we need you to come and help us with that on Saturday. It's going to be great. And I'm so thankful for Myra. She's awesome at this. She's so organized. Here's what will happen. You'll come in. She'll say, where do you want to decorate? Grab a tree, go take it. Here's your decorations you can choose from. You take it, you decorate your tree, your area, and then you can go help other people. She has her little clipboard. She has a whistle. You're out of place. Get back where you go. I mean, she's all over it. It's awesome. And she does a great job, and I'm thankful that she's willing to take the time to do that. And so we need your help next Saturday to come and do that. Also want to say how grateful I am for our finance team. Tuesday, we started budget meetings for next year, for 2025. That'll be presented to the church in December for a vote. Our first meeting was over 3 hours. So, and we've got another one tomorrow night, hopefully to finish up and tighten up, that we'll have something to present to you all in December. And we'll try to get that to you a couple weeks before, so you have time to look at it before the business meeting. But I'm just telling you, your finance team is putting in a lot of hard work. They are doing the best they can to formulate what people have asked for to do ministry. And it's not easy job. It's not easy. I'm amazed how well they do through it all, though. But Vanessa, I got to say, I don't know if you knew what I was going to be preaching on today or not, but the Holy Spirit just, you're going to see. You're going to see your song and the message, if I do it right, is going to be just awesome. And it's going to go together. So I'm so thankful for your heart, that you are so in tune with the leading of the Holy Spirit, that you listened. He brought us together, and we were a team today. Yeah, I feel sorry for you, but well, let's put it this way. You're the best part of the team, so it was good. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 35. We're going to continue our series in the book of Isaiah. And I listen, I love the book of Isaiah. I'm ready to get out of the book of Isaiah. It's been a long year in this book. But I pray there's been some things that we've been able to take from the prophet Isaiah and what God said to Israel in that day, to his people, and how that's not that promise, the promises, the spiritual promises that was given to those people in that day that followed God, and we see it in the New Testament. And that's been my hope, to be able to carry over and go, okay, it was promised to the Jewish people back then, but for us in Christ, those same promises are there, maybe worded differently, but Jesus has not changed his mind on those blessings. And I want you to know, I think that's the same today. Isaiah 35, we're just going to look at verses 8 through 10. We're going to talk about the highway of holiness this morning. Highway of holiness. All of us are on a journey. Isn't that right? We're all on a journey. Beautiful thing about that journey, God allows people like one another's to sometimes walk in that journey together, that we're not alone. That's called the church. He gives us people that when we struggle, they're there for us. This journey puts us on a path or a road, if you will, and depending upon the choices that we make determines that road. Right, we're all put on this. As soon as you are born and the doctor smacks you on the rear end, I don't know if they do that anymore. I think they smacked me a little bit harder than most when I was born, but in the face? Oh, me? Wow, that was rude, Darren. Okay. Not getting any better, thank you. But the choices that we make from the time we're born to where we are today determines the road in which we're going to walk. For way too many, they choose the road of emptiness. They choose the road of brokenness, anger, and hopelessness. It's not a path that people really want to be on, but because of choices, bad choices, they find themselves there. Yet on the other hand, we have another path, or road, that one can take. This is the road of salvation. It's the road of redemption and of holiness. And this, my beloved, is the road only followers of Christ can travel. And that is going to be the subject of our message this morning. Charles Spurgeon, who is probably known as one of the greatest preachers in modern history, was saved on January 6th, 1850. And on February 1st, he wrote the following prayer of consecration. O great and unsearchable God, who knowest my heart and triest all my ways, with a humble dependence upon the support of thy Holy Spirit, I yield up myself to thee. As thy own reasonable sacrifice, I return to thee thine own. I would be forever, unreservedly, perpetually thine whilst I'm on earth. I would serve thee, and I may enjoy thee and praise thee forever. Amen. Holiness does not consist in mystic speculations, enthusiastic fervors, or uncommanded austerities. It consists in thinking as God thinks and willing as God wills. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You want to be holy. You want to walk this road of holiness. Then we first must come to Christ. But in that is a surrendering to no longer think that we want to think and will as we want to will. But we want to think as God thinks and we want to do the things that God wants done. Well, verses 8 through 10 of Isaiah 35 says this: A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way. And fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor any vicious beast go upon it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. And they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Now, like I said last week, it's been amazing as we've looked into the book of Isaiah, all these different scriptures pointing to the millennial kingdom. And we talked about, for the Jew, that's all they really had to look forward to. They didn't understand the first coming of Christ. They didn't understand, they didn't grasp the incarnate Christ coming and dwelling among us. What they envisioned and what they pictured is what we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks, and what you find through the book of Isaiah is the millennial kingdom. Well, that happens when Jesus comes the second time, when he touches the earth the second time and he sets up that 1,000-year reign on the earth. This is what Isaiah is talking about here, and I think it's important that we understand, and I'm just going to go real quickly again because there may be some confusion. Jesus, the reason why we celebrate Christmas, doesn't matter what day he was really born on. What matters is he was born. And he came and he dwelt among us for 33 years and died on the cross. That was when he was incarnate. And the Spirit, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1 tells us. After his resurrection, he spent time with people, his disciples. The book of Acts tells us that 500 people saw him at one time. 500 at one time saw him alive. And then later he resurrected, he went into heaven. And if you remember, the angel talked to the guys standing there looking at him, the disciples, and in today's vernacular, it'd be like, hey, you bunch of goobers, what are you doing just standing around looking up? You got to get hot. Because this same Jesus that went up to heaven, there's a day he's going to come back in like manner. Now, there's a difference between that and the rapture. The rapture is when we as the church, the Holy Spirit, or Jesus Christ, the trumpet will sound and the angel of the Lord will shout and Jesus will meet us in the air. At the rapture, Jesus never touches the earth. Okay? Now that's important because the rapture sets aside that differently than the millennial reign. We know we are taken up into heaven. After we are taken up into heaven, there'll be a rising of an Antichrist. He will begin to try to make things better on the earth. In fact, people will follow him, and there will be a false religion that will rise and look at to him as the Messiah. He'll make a peace treaty with Israel, and somewhere in there, the temple in Jerusalem will be rebuilt. 3.5 years after his treaty with Israel, he will crawfish on them and go against them. At that time, the Bible tells us there will be a tribulation cast upon the earth like nothing has ever been done before. It'll literally be hell on earth those 3.5 years. At the end of that 3.5 years, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and his army will be surrounding Jerusalem, trying to wipe out God's people once and for all. And when all looks like is lost, the Bible says the clouds will part and Christ will come back riding a white horse. Everybody goes, well, is there really going to be a white horse? Hey, look, man, I don't know. The Bible says he's going to be on a white horse. I'm going with he's going to be on a white horse. Okay? Maybe it's figurative, but he came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey the first time. I believe he's coming as King of Kings on a horse this time. Anyways, him and us, we get to come with him. With the word of his tongue, is going to wipe out the army of the Antichrist, capture him, throw him and the false prophet into hell. And after that, he will set up his kingdom on earth. That's called the millennial reign. That's going to last, millennium means 1,000. So for 1,000 years, he's going to reign on earth. His throne will be in the temple in Jerusalem. We will be established on this earth, and we will have jobs to do while we're here. It's going to be awesome. But in that thousand-year reign, that's what Israel is thinking when the Messiah comes. And so that first incarnate part, they didn't catch that. That's why they wanted Jesus crucified, because he made himself out to be the Messiah and the Christ, but it wasn't what they envisioned and what they pictured. They didn't read the whole book. See, sadly, way too many people today call themselves Christians, have not read the whole book. Then as your pastor, we're going to read the whole book. We're going to go. And that's why, as long and as sometimes drudgingly we go through the book of Isaiah, it's important that we go through these prophets of old, because in them are truth that speak to us even today. And so the Holy Spirit gives us one more picture of the millennial kingdom that has come, that thousand-year reign. In this time, in this text, we see a figurative road that leads the people of God to New Jerusalem. The Bible calls it a highway. Now, we have highways today, don't we? You know the highways that we drive on were not paved for us. Did you know that? The highways we have were not paved for our use. It was actually paid for economic and military use. Roads were paved so the military could get to where they need to in our country to help defend it. But since our taxes pay for it, we get to use them. True story. Nothing different. This highway that we will be walking in this millennial kingdom is state constructed, Jesus being the state. The highway that we look at in this text is called the highway of holiness. It is called this because only the people of God will be able to travel upon it. Nobody else is going to be able to be on this highway. Only us. What we read is that no lost person, no fool, which, I mean, is probably redundant there, no lion or any wild, vicious beast will be able to walk upon it. And we see that this way of holiness, this road of holiness, leads us somewhere. It leads us to the Holy One. The road gets its name because of who walks upon it, because it's going to be for the holy and for the holy alone. And we see on this highway there will no longer be any danger to those who travel upon it. Also notice that the voyage that we will walk upon, the holy will walk upon, it will be a joyful travel. There will be no sorrow. There will no longer be any heartbreak on this highway. And that's good news for us. Because even though many of us have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we've been put on this road that leads us to eternal life through Christ, that does not exclude us from heartache. It doesn't exclude us from the tough times. It doesn't exclude us from going through things that we would rather not go through. I did a service Friday for Jerry Willis. And can I tell you, it broke my heart. It broke my heart, not because of Jerry, because I knew what Jerry was going to be. Jerry loved the Lord. But I looked around, and literally there was 12 people there. 12. And it broke my heart. Here's a man who lived 80-some years on this earth, and only 12 people were there to remember him. It's a sobering thought when you think about this life and what we really invest in. It made me begin to wonder, this road in which we walk is a hard road. Jesus never promised us it would be easy to follow him. In fact, in Mark 8, he says that we must pick up our cross and follow him, which absolutely speaks to the fact that it's a hard road in which followers of Christ walk. But there's coming a day where that highway that we're going to walk on, there's not going to be any of that stuff. The Bible says today the lion the devil walks the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Guess what? He's not allowed on this highway. Amen. There's not going to be anything that's going to harm us. It's going to be a road. It's going to be a highway of joy and of peace like we've never known before. And it's all going to lead to one place, to the throne of Christ. Verse 10, we the redeemed, those, the redemption of Israel, and us will be on that road. Now, for Israel, that picture of redemption may have came in different forms. For them, redemption talked about redemption from Babylon. Maybe redemption in the coming Messiah, who they were looking for, and the return that will bring his kingdom. And although the Holy Spirit gives us a picture of the highway in the millennium, there is a call to enter upon the highway today. Listen, you want to walk this highway of peace and joy? You want to walk a highway where there's no longer any trouble, where there's no longer any pain? You want to walk a highway where only Christ is known? This beautiful highway, it begins with the decisions that we make today on which highway we're going to enter. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 through 15, Jesus, the Lord, makes it very clear to us. And it's a message that we read, we hear about, but I'm going to do my best to unpack it in a way that really grabs us. In Matthew 7, 13 through 15, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it." Verse 14, "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Verse 15 goes on to say, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." In this text, we see the words of our Lord making a proclamation of how to inherit eternal life, how you can get on this highway of holiness. First and foremost, we must understand that the way to eternal life and to enter upon the highway of holiness is on God's terms. It's not on our terms. We don't get to say how we enter into heaven. God gets to say, because he's the one who prepared it and he's the one that's given us the opportunity to enter it. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." I want you to grab that he doesn't say, "I am a way." He says, "I am the way, the way." There is only one way that you're ever going to enter into eternal life, and that is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You're never going to be good enough. You may be sitting there today thinking, "Well, I never killed anybody. I don't hardly cheat on my taxes. I give a full day's work for a full day's pay. I raise my kids right. I treat my wife well." Man, those are all good things, and I'm happy for you. Let me give you a round of applause, but that is not going to get you into heaven. The only way you're ever going to get to heaven is when you recognize that you are lost, that you are dying in your sins, and you are in need of a Savior. And you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why Jesus? Because he's the one that died for you. He's the one that rose for you. He's the one that brought you from death into life. All you have to do is ask him. And he said, "All who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved." It's a promise he made, and he's the only one that can make it. And therefore, he is the way, and he is the truth. and there is no life outside of him. You want to be on this road of holiness, this highway of holiness? You want to be the one that one day will walk in knowing that the devil will no longer have a hold on you, knowing that the horrible things of this world will not touch you no longer? It begins by entering this narrow gate. You know, earlier I talked about how you come to crossroads on what direction you're going to go in this life. And sometimes we take the road that leads us to stupid stuff. And there's punishment to that. Listen, you play stupid games, you get stupid prizes. And we get there's consequences to that. And we find ourselves alone and broken and all these consequences. And we go, why? Well, you chose the wrong road. But I'm telling you today, Jesus has given us another chance at another crossroads for those who haven't asked Christ into their life and chosen the narrow way. Today, you get a chance to choose the narrow way. There is a wide gate. This gate opens up to a highway that is easy. And it is attractive. It's inclusive and permissive. This is a gate that leads to the world and ultimately damnation. But then we see this narrow gate. This gate leads to a highway that is hard. It's demanding. It is a gate of self-denial. It is the gate that leads to life eternal. And probably some of the saddest words in this Bible, and definitely in this text, is that there are few that will find it. Those are sad words. That there are few will find this narrow way. It's presented to them. It's preached to them. They're introduced to it by people who love them and care about them. It's on TV commercials. I watch at night, I'll watch Fox News sometimes, and there are commercials from different pastors about how you can go to know Jesus. There's no excuse for missing the narrow path. The only reason that we will not end up on the narrow, through the narrow gate onto the highway of holiness is because we choose not to. You're given a choice. I don't know what it is. I've debated this, and probably pastors throughout history have tried to figure out what is it that man would rather choose, hell and damnation over heaven and holiness. Well, why we would choose being thrown into the pit of hell instead of having eternal life in Jesus. What is it that's so appealing in this world that we would rather have the stuff that we cannot keep and lose that which we could never lose? Why do we choose that? If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, would you come to me after the service and just tell me why you're still choosing that wide gate instead of Jesus so I understand? Would you help me with that? And here's what I'll tell you. If you'll help me understand why you keep choosing the wide gate, I'll try to help discuss with you why you're messing up and you need to go through the narrow gate. We'll work through this together. But I need to understand. I think we would all be interested, church, on why are people choosing the wide gate? Why do we choose the road to destruction? Because it makes zero sense. Look, I get the devil blinds us. I get that there's a veil over our eyes, spiritual eyes that we cannot see. But I'm telling you, there are many prayers for the lost that the veil would be removed. And sometimes we make the choice to keep our eyes veiled. We don't want to see the truth. Because the bottom line is, that narrow gate, it is a gate of self-denial. It is hard. It is demanding. But it is the gate and the only gate that will ever lead to eternal life. You remember the old saying, pay now so you can play later? Man, that's salvation. Jesus paid it now. We walk the hard path. But I'm telling you, the reward's going to be well worth it when we get there. Broke my heart that there weren't very many people there for Jerry's funeral, but here's what I know. He didn't care. He doesn't really care who was there or not. He's in the presence of Jesus Christ. Yeah, he went through some hard times. He had to watch his wife pass away, and he missed her dearly. He and Rachel would come, and Rachel would make cookies for kids here in this church. And she always made sure them little munchkins had sugar before they left the church. She'd get them all sugared up and send them home. That's the way to do it. And they loved Jesus together, and they loved each other, and then she was gone. But that man still kept coming to church by himself. And so it might break my heart there weren't very many people at his service. Jerry didn't care because he's on the highway to holiness. And he's never going to have to deal with that again. That heartbreak, him and Rachel are reunited together again. They're seeing each other face to face, and they're celebrating. And I'm telling you, there's no greater joy that we could ever, ever, ever have than being reunited again together forever and ever. Brother, there's never going to be a job ever to take you away from your bride again. That's all going to be gone. You're going to be with each other for eternity. So why would we not want this narrow gate? Why would we not want this beautiful highway of holiness? Why would we continue to choose the wide gate? When you look at the word narrow, for narrow gate, that word means to groan. And speaks to the truth of how this gate is not for the sissies. Listen, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you can't be a wimp. You got to be tough. You have to be tough. It's not for the weak, and it's not for the double-minded. Listen, when you give yourself to Jesus Christ, man, you're all in it to win it. There's no turning back. We keep on. Onward, Christian soldier. Marching on. Doesn't matter that the foe comes upon us. It doesn't matter if we ever feel alone. We keep moving forward to enter into the kingdom of heaven. To stay on the road of holiness. Get on that road of holiness. See, those that enter this narrow gate must be willing to die to self and to declare there is no God but our God. There is no other God but our God. There is no God but Jehovah God, Jesus the Christ and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, three in one. I don't apologize for it because the Word of God speaks to it. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I believe Him. I don't care what man says. We must no longer be led by our own thoughts and our own desires, but our thoughts and desires must be those of the Lord. That's hard even in the church, you know. We make decisions based upon our own preferences, based upon our own desires and our own wants. And as a body of Christ, we have got to get in the habit of going, it's not about what I think is right, it's what does God want for it to be done in this church. I don't know how we're going to do it. Doesn't matter how you think you know how you're going to do it. The question is it what the Lord wants done? Because here's what I know. If the Lord wants it done, He's going to get it done. And He's looking for some people who have the courage and the faith to step out and see it accomplished. We won't get the glory for it. He gets all the glory for it. That's what He wants. He wants the glory. Then the Lord gives us another warning, and that is for us to beware of false prophets or false teachers. These are those who come into the church. They pretend to be sheep. They pretend to be one of us. They pretend to be part of us. But the Bible says instead they are vicious predators. These are those that are selfish. They're self-righteous, and they desire nothing but power and notoriety. Their desire is to have the attention that belongs to Jesus. In the early manuscripts, the word to describe them was the word Christ Imperos. I practiced that 100 times. It's Christ Imperos. Christ Imperos, which means Christ merchants. Means they're selling an item, but not really of Jesus. These are those who use the name of Jesus in order to become rich and famous. You see them on TV today. If we were to continue on in this chapter of Matthew 7, we would see even more sobering text. And I believe these are words that we must pay very special attention to. Verse 21 and 23 of Matthew 7. Now I want you to listen to this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me say that again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, there's a big difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. And that's what these people were saying. Lord, I know you. I know all about you. But Jesus is going, yeah, but I don't know you. I don't know you. It's been really neat. Many of you know I have a son in the Secret Service. I've been in the White House a couple times. I've actually been in the Oval Office. Couldn't take pictures or anything because didn't want to get him in trouble. Now I just said it on Facebook Live and he's probably going to get fired. But I don't care. Bosses are changing. It'll be okay. Now I got in because my son can get me in. They didn't let me in the White House because the president invited me. I know about Joe Biden. I see him on TV. I see him falling upstairs, downstairs. I know a lot about him. But I don't know him. Right. And more importantly, he doesn't know me. You see, he didn't invite me into the White House. If I went and knocked on the door, Joe, can I come in and say hi to you and you and Doc? And I'm going to shoot you, have you shot. I don't know who you are. But I know you. No, you don't know me. You know about me. And see, that's the difference between being saved and being unsaved. See, it's one thing to know about Jesus. It's one thing to know all the stuff about Jesus. People have been in church for 100 years, and they know a lot about the Bible. But the bottom line is do they know Jesus? And does Jesus know you? And all that comes from a personal relationship. See, it's not about religion, and that's where many of us make the mistake. We think it's about being in church. We think it's about putting money in a plate. We think it's about reading a book. And all those things are good, but that's not what we're about. We're about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about loving Him because He first loved us. It's about the things that we want, we push to the side because we want what He wants. We desire what He desires. And guess what? Sometimes that puts us in a tough spot. Sometimes that puts us in an uncomfortable position. Because guess what? Jesus wants us to go out and tell others about Him. And if I love somebody, I have no problem telling people about them. I brag about my wife all the time. Why? Because I love her. She'll bake stuff for the sheriff's department. I'll bring it in. You guys know. I'll bring pans of stuff in. And the sheriff will go, "How in the world are you not 400 pounds? Because she doesn't make it for me. She makes it for y'all. I just get to bring it in. But then I get to brag about how good of a baker she is. And all the stuff that she bakes and the meals she makes. I get to brag about my wife, how awesome she is. I couldn't do that if I didn't have a relationship with her. And that's the way it is with Jesus. Could it be that we don't tell people about Him because we really don't know Him? That, my friends, is a scary thought. So we come to that fork in the road once again that determines our eternal destiny. Many of us have already made the decision to enter the narrow gate. And because of that, we will one day, listen to me, because you've accepted Christ as your Savior and your Lord, and you know that you know, there is a day that you will walk that highway of holiness in the millennial kingdom, where there is no longer the vicious predators looking to harm us. It will be a time where we will walk in holiness to worship the Holy One. There are some, though, who have come to these two gates and continue to enter the wide gate. And it's that gate, like I said earlier, that leads to death and damnation. But praise God, if you're here today and you've never made the choice for Jesus, praise God He's brought you here again today for another opportunity to enter through that narrow gate. You've come to a crossroads once more to be reminded that this gift of eternal life is from a loving God. And the question that you have to answer this morning is, are you going to continue to go through the wide gate? Or will you finally, this time, choose Jesus? Choose life. And then you too someday will walk with us on this holy highway. And I pray that you're going to be there with me. Praise be.